Wow, we made it. Everybody say, yay. Everybody say, yay, we made it. John 14. We're getting there, Elsie. It's like a slow-moving train. But it's going to run over you if you don't get out of the way. So, John 14. Well, I like it. I like hearing this. I like hearing this. Get your swords out, guys. Okay. Do not let your heart be troubled. Do we believe it? Do we believe the words of God? You know, here's the thing. We read our word and we read our scripture and we still really don't believe. And you're going to see that in a minute. You know, you're going to see, and we don't really quite get his love for us. We don't really quite understand the depth of it and the width of it. And like the Bible says, the height and the length, it's immeasurable. And so we're like, well, he can't love me that much. Yeah, he can. You might not can love someone that much, but he can love you that much. And we're going to talk about that here in a minute. So he says, believe in God, believe also in me. Well, wait, hold on a second. I thought he was God. He's going to clarify that in just a minute. He's talking about me come down from heaven in the human form. In the form of a man. Like, remember we read he humbled himself to be obedient even to the death on the cross. He became a man and walked among us so he could reveal the Father and pay for our sin. You know, two basic missions he had. Pay our sin, set us free. And when I say that, everybody goes, free from what? Free from sin. When you're in sin, it means you're not saved and you're in the dominion of darkness. And you don't know what's going on over here. You're like, you can't even see because it's just darkness. And then the light came in the world, Jesus. But what the Bible say? Men love darkness because their deeds were evil. Wow. And then you realize, and then you wake up and realize one day, wait a second. I can be in the light. I can just be with my Father. And then you realize Jesus is that light. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's also the light. And when I got a friend of mine, Darren, gave me a book. I hadn't read it yet. When we were in Columbia a couple weeks ago, this guy who was, I love all these atheists and agnostics that set out to prove that the Bible's full of errors. I love it. Because what they have to do is they have to actually study the Bible. And most atheists, they know a few verses. Don't judge me. Judge not. They love that one. Judge not, so you won't be judged. And they love to take things out of context. But he talks about the light and all the properties and principles of light. And it's way above what we're going to get into today. But I want to read that book. I'm really interested in it. Because, you know, everybody that's ever had like a near-death experience has talked about what? A light. You know, a great light or something. So I'm going to get into it. Not get weird on you, but anyway. He says, in my Father's house are many. Now, King James says mansions, and I always will say that because I grew up on King James. In my Father's house there are many. I like that. Because some other translations kind of reduce it to rooms. I'm like, I don't want a room. I want a mansion. Right? So I like the King James. So I'm going to defer to King James here. In my Father's house, there's many mansions. But I like that. Okay? But this Bible says many dwelling places. But you get the idea. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. Now think about that. He's preparing a place for you. How wonderful is that place going to be? Okay. Nothing that can be built by man's hands would ever even come close to what he has prepared for us. And we tend to think in the, you know, here and now, in the corruptible. We're talking about an incorruptible dwelling place with him for eternity. You know, I think it's going to be exciting. I think we're going to ride motorcycles up there. I think we're going to fly fish. Okay. Whatever. Whatever you like to do. You know, ride the horses, feed the chickens. We're going to be doing something. It's not like we're going to go to this place and just sit on a cloud and listen to the angels play the harp. I'm like, boring. Who wants to go there? So I'm sure whatever it is, God has already said, we can't even imagine it. It's never even entered our mind or our heart, the good things God's got for us, right? So I'm looking forward to it. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. Do we believe it? Yeah. Yeah, he's going to come and receive us to him. And he says, there you may be, where I am, there you may be also. Now, to me, that's heaven. Wherever Jesus is, Jesus could go to the pit of hell, and I'd go, take me there with you. It's hot down here, bro. You sure you want to go? Yep, I do, because you're there. You're my resting place. You're my Sabbath. You're my Father. You're my Creator. You're my Savior. You're my great I am. Why would I not want to be with that person? You know, it's like I used to tell a story, you know, about my son. I'm like, you know, hey, Adam, we're going to go fishing tomorrow. He's like, oh, man, he's so excited. And he's, you know, getting his fishing pole ready, his little fishing pole about that big, you know. And he's getting all the stuff ready and laying out his all the stuff. He's going, I said, we're going to get up early. He's like, okay, okay. We get up early, 5 in the morning, and we go out, and we go to find some little creek somewhere, and we go fishing. We had a great time. The next day, I said, Adam, I got to go to work tomorrow. Can I go? He said, can I go? I said, Adam, it's going to be tough, man. It's going to be, like, really hot. I'm going to be outside. I'm going to be up on a roof working on a building, doing this. And he says, I don't care. I don't care as long as I'm with you, Dad. And that's the way our children love us, right? You put them in the car. Your kids are so small, and your son about to be so small. They've got total trust in you, and you're going to put them in the car, and they don't care where you're going. They're just trusting you're taking them to a good place. I mean, when's the last time you put your kids in the car and took them to the dump and threw them in the trash can? You don't do that, right? And God says, you being evil, know what good things to give to your kids. How much more will your family, heavenly Father give you? Now, he wasn't talking about us that are saved being evil. He was talking to the Pharisees. Get that right. Jesus didn't say, you being evil as a believer. He said, the Pharisees, the religious people, you being evil. Remember, he called them, you're of your father, the devil. He called the religious people the evil ones. He never called us believers evil. In fact, he says, I'm going to give you a new heart, a new mind. I renew your mind, give you a new way of thinking. In fact, I'm going to write my laws, not Moses' laws, my laws on your heart. So you can just walk through the world and be an image bearer. I call it being an image bearer. You're bearing the image of Christ everywhere you go. Many people will hate you for that. And you'll say, why does that person just not like me? Your light's shining a little bright. Maybe I need to turn. No, don't turn it down. Remember, Jesus says, put that thing up on a stand where it can shine out all in the darkness. And then people are going to start taking shots at you, whatever. But then a lot of people are going to come to that light. A lot of people are going to see things in your walk and in your life and go, dude, why are you so, like, confident? Why are you so, like, you know, at peace in life? Why are you? And they're going to want to ask you, where does this come from? And you can tell them, because my God loves me. He lives within me. That's good news. I love it. Smile, Tanya. Yeah. That's good news. We don't preach good news anymore. We preach, hey, you know, go do this, 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 and God might like you, right? So he says, you know the way I'm going. How long has he been with these guys? A while. Years. Yes, years. Not days, not weeks, not months. He's been with these guys for years. And Thomas, I love Thomas. Lord, we don't know where you're going. How do we know the way?
one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And what does he say? No one comes to the Father but through me. You got to go through Jesus to get to the Father. And now he's going to tell you who the Father is and who he is. He says, if you have come to know me, you will know my Father. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Underline that. From now on, you have known him and have seen him. In other words, when you're looking at Jesus, you're looking at God. There's no other person to look for. God is spirit. No one's ever seen God. Jesus revealed the Father to us in the form of man. Oh, now we can relate. Remember in the Old Testament, he was some distant God that, you know, we had to, his presence could be taken away. And then we had to follow, remember they had to follow the cloud. When they were in the desert, they had to follow the cloud by day and the fire by night. And then you know, his presence would be removed. And the priest would have to pray, oh God, I hope I don't have any sin in my life because I got to go do this atoning. I got to go atone for these people's sins. And if I got any sin in my life, I'm going to die. And this is not in the Bible. I used to think it was in the Bible. The old saying was they would tie a rope around the high priest's ankle. So when he went behind the veil into the Holy of Holies, if he had any sin in his life, sin cannot enter the presence of a holy God. It will be consumed. He will die. And so if he died, if there was one sin he hadn't confessed, ooh, let's drag this dude out and get another high priest. Let's try another guy. After that, I'd be like, I'm good. I don't think I want to be a high priest anymore. And so... But he was a distance God back then. Now Jesus is saying, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He says, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father. And it is enough for us. Remember, we talked about this. Father. Jesus calls him my Father. Jesus tells us how to pray. Our Father. Paul writes about our Father in heaven, grace and peace be unto you. Peter writes about our Father in heaven. James, everybody talks about the Father after the Old Testament. Before, it was some distant God that we had to appease and we had to obey certain commands or we would suffer wrath and we would suffer pestilences and we would not have rain fall on our land, and the judgment of God would be rained down. Now, Jesus is going to finish and complete the law. The law is still in effect. People think, well, Jesus abolished the law. No, he didn't abolish the law. He fulfilled the law. The law is still in effect. If you want to go back, and this is what Paul talks about, falling from grace, if you want to go back under it, good luck. I got to believe and I got to obey the Sabbath day. Huh? And we make it up anyway. The Big Ten, we call them the Big Ten. You know? And half the 95% of people in church can't even name the Ten Commandments. But we'll like, and I'm not even sure I can name them. But it's like, we remember that one, you know, remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. We say, well, that one doesn't count. Because, you know, we got to go out to eat and we have to work on Sundays now. Well, Sunday's not even the Sabbath day. It was Saturday. Oh, well, did you work Saturday? Yeah, well, then you violated the Sabbath day. Well, that one doesn't count. So now we're making it up as we go, right? And we're picking and choosing. But Jesus says, have I been with you so long, and have you not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? And this is, you get all kinds of heresies out there now. You get the Father over here, the Son over here, the Holy Spirit's over here. There's one God, there's one baptism, there's one Sabbath, there's one eternal security, there's one rest.
And if you want to name him, his name is Jesus. And so Philip says to him, he says, the words that I say to you, I do not speak. Oh, no, he says, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? Now he's going to go deeper with this, and he's going to talk about us being in him and him being in us. That's how close he is. Okay? Wherever you go, he goes with you. Your body is the temple of God now. This is why we don't need a temple. God says specifically, I do not dwell in a house or a temple made by man's hands. How much has religion polluted our mind to think there's something special about this little building here? And I need to go into this little building to be in the presence of God. Or second best, I need to call down his spirit. No. He is with you all the time. We're just not conscious of it. That's why we sing, that's why we worship, to where we can listen to the words of the songs, beautiful words of these songs, beautiful songs. Beautiful music, and just clear our mind out and just concentrate on his love for us. We need that. We need to take that time just to sit with music, with word, and just listen. Because the world comes at us with all kinds of lies. And guess what? Religion does too. Religion will lie. Would rather have you have a believe a lie than believe the truth. And they don't teach the truth. So he says, the words that I say to you, I do not speak for myself, but the Father abiding in me does his works. And he's going to say here, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, and this is something a lot of people struggle with, I've struggled with. I'm not saying I've got the perfect answer for it. I have a answer. I like you guys do your own research, but he's going to talk about doing greater works than these. And here he goes. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Well, hold on a second, Jesus. I tried walking on water, and it didn't work too well. And I prayed that the mountain be moved, and it didn't go anywhere. And so then we start saying, well, does he really mean what he's saying? Yes, he means what he's saying. But let's look where it comes from. Where do these works come from? He says, you will do greater works than these. Well, Jesus was raising people from the dead. He was opening the eyes of the blind. He was, the lame man were walking. And the disciples went out. Now listen to who he's talking to at this time too. He's talking to his disciples. Did they go out and do the same things? Yes. Peter raised somebody from the dead. Paul opened the eyes of a blind man. All these apostles went out and did these things. And I believe it was a special anointing on them. But we want to take it and say, I can do that. Jesus says, and God says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And we want to make it about us. We want to make it about we, us. We have to be careful with that, because that was the lie of the garden. The lie in the garden was, take a bite, you can be like who? God. And so we all, every time we say, oh, look here, I can do what God can do. Not without his empowerment, not without his will. And a lot of faith preachers, not faith preachers, but name it, claim it preachers, will use this verse to say, hey, I ask anything in his name and he'll do it. I need a new Cadillac. And we're so short-sighted. What Jesus is talking about is the works the Holy Spirit's going to do through us. And that when we go out, we're that image bearer. Because Ephesians tells us what? Ephesians 2 says, we're saved by grace through faith. And this not as, is not of ourself, so that no one can what? Boast. It's the gift of God, right? And then you read on Ephesians 2, it says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do what? Good works. You were created to do good works, right? And if you read on, it says, which he prepared beforehand that we may walk in them. We can't claim anything, guys. We're created for good works. Well, how are we going to do that? Well, he's already prepared them. Well, what do I do now? Walk. Walk, be an image bearer. Walk in the good works that he's already prepared. So the greater works is that people are going to see your life and they're going to believe. You know, God can do a miracle anytime he wants. That's nothing. God spoke creation into existence. He said, let there be light. Nothing. That's nothing for God. God can heal whoever he wants. He can raise whoever he wants. But that's nothing. Don't look at that. That's the temporary. He raised Lazarus. We just read he raised Lazarus from the dead. So what? He died about 10 years later. Well, I don't know, but he still died. So what? Why did he do that? So that people might believe. And then he comes along and he says, more blessed are the ones that did not see this stuff that believe. Who are we? The more blessed. Did you walk when Jesus walked? I didn't. No. Did you see him open the eyes of the blind? I didn't see that. I read about it. Did you see him heal, raise Lazarus from the dead? No, I didn't see that, but I read about it. I'm believing by faith. More blessed are the ones that have not seen. So we're the more blessed. And the greater works is that Holy Spirit through us producing fruit. Producing fruit means we're making other Christians. What does fruit do? An apple tree produces apples. Well, if you're an apple tree, you should be producing apples. Well, I've never saved anybody, Chuck. Well, I haven't either. That's the Holy Spirit's job. We just walk. Why are you so happy? You know, why are you so happy, my wife? Oh, Jesus loves you? How can I get some of that? I just cussed out my wife and beat her up and threw her out the back. And she's sitting there just smiling. Jesus loves me. You can't do nothing to me. Not really. I would never do that. But, I mean, all this stuff could be happening in your life. You could feel like you're getting beat up. You're being run over. You're being abused. You're being manipulated. Anybody ever been taken advantage of? Us Christians, point at yourself, us Christians get taken advantage of. Why? Because we have a big heart. I was up in Camas one time, about 3 years ago. I was up in Camas, about where Garrett lives. Yeah, I pulled into the little Stop and Rob on the corner there. It's changed names a few times. Okay, I pull in there to get gas on my KTM. I get off, I'm gassing up, guy comes around, and he's in a pickup truck. He says, hey, man, I forgot my wallet. Do you know how many times I've heard that in my life? I forgot my wallet. I look at him, I said, seriously, bro? I said, you know how many times I've heard this? You know, I promise, man, I promise. I just need like 20 bucks just to get enough gas to get to my grandmother's. I'm like, look me in the eye and tell me you're not lying to me, because everything about you tells me you're lying to me. And he said, no, man, I promise, man, I did it. I said, all right, buddy. I hand him a $20 bill. He walks around, gets in his truck. As he's leaving, he kind of looks over and he goes, I got to go get somebody, I'll be back. And he takes off. He didn't get any gas. He didn't need any gas. He just ripped me off. And he was smiling about it. One minute.
we get taken advantage of because we have big hearts. We want to help people. So we have to be careful. We have to be careful. We were talking last week, be careful who you invite in your house. Be careful who you invite in your home. You know, God didn't tell us to open our home to every evil thing out there. In fact, there's some stuff we need to keep out of our home. Stuff that can come into our home and we don't even know about it through the internet. And all other things evil. We need to be that wall that stands up and says, not in my house. You're not, you can get drunk and do whatever you want anywhere else, but you're not going to do it in my house. You're in charge. Lay the law down. And Jesus says, I'm going, he said, why we're going to do greater works? He says, because I'm going to the Father. This is a direct prophecy from Jesus, so to speak, that the Holy Spirit's going to be poured out in a few days. And the gospel's going to go out into all the world. And anyone who believes on the name of Jesus will be saved. We are all now what's called the New Jerusalem. We are all Israel. Anybody believe, you don't have to be a Jew to be a part of Israel. You can be a Gentile now. It all changed. Everybody changed. When Jesus showed up on the scene, it was a game changer. He changed everything. He said, I'm going to do what you could not do. I'm going to lay down my life for you. I'm going to pay your sin to where I don't even remember it anymore. So this is another reason why we think we should get disappointed, why we think God has disappointed us. How could you even think God is disappointed in you when he says, I don't even remember? It'd be like you go to God and say, God, I'm really sorry. I need to confess a sin. He said, what sin? Well, you know, the thing I did, you know, what thing you did? That's crazy. That's crazy forgiveness. That's crazy grace. That's hyper grace. I'm hyper Jesus. Everybody says, are you hyper grace? I say, yeah, I'm hyper grace. I'm hyper Jesus. I'm going to be like David. I'm going to dance around like a crazy man. I was talking about this with somebody, the Montana guy that walked in. I said, people, religious people especially, do not like your freedom. They don't. You sit there with your hands folded, shut up and don't say nothing. Put money in the plate every time it comes by. Be a good church person. Wait a second, hold on, you're getting a little excited. Don't get so excited. Jesus is not really that exciting. Oh, really? Tell that lie to somebody else. I'm going to get excited about it. I'm very excited about my Lord because I know what he's done in my life firsthand. I'm not one of these pastors that went to seminary for 10 years and studied books and came out and went, oh, the Bible says, no, I lived it. I lived it. We'll finish up here. He says, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. Now, here again, we take this and we spin it. Hold on. Well, Jesus, I need a new pickup truck, preferably a Ford Raptor. Like Brother Mike has, Justin. Actually, his wife drives that. Well, man, I wish I had enough money where my wife could drive a Ford Raptor. I would borrow it from her every week. Hey, sweetie pie, I'm going to get you something else. I need this Ford Raptor here. Ford Raptor's 150 grand now. I'm like, whoa. But anyway, you know, we take this verse. Whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. But what does he say? So that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So he's telling the disciples, guys. He's talking to the disciples. You're going to go out and you're going to start my church. And you're going to do all these works I've been doing. And my spirit's going to be poured out. And the church is going to begin. And he's talking to them and he's telling them, you can ask him whatever in my name and I'm going to do it so that the Son may be glorified. Was the Father, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Was the Father glorified when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead? Yes. And that's what he's talking about. The good works that we do glorify who? Not ourselves. They glorify our Father. And the good works we do, like I say, are already prepared for us. We just need to walk in them. You know, I'd hate to be the guy that said, well, I don't have anything to really do good. Well, yeah, you do. Look what God has done for you. And do likewise. Remember when Jesus said, I can only do what I see my Father do? Well, the Father only did good things. So go out and do good things. Take on that humble servant attitude that Christ took on. And don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. And go out and help people and love on people. We got a world right now that hates, everybody hates everybody. You know? You disrespected me. What did I do? You cut in front of me in line. Oh, I didn't see you there. And it's like somebody, next thing you know, somebody's pulling a gun out and shooting somebody. The world has gone crazy. You know, Jesus talks about, I take the salt. You are the salt of the earth. If the salt loses the saltiness, there's nothing else. This earth will go to hell in about 3 days. If all of a sudden all the Holy Spirit was taken out of this world and all the Christians were taken out and all the believers were taken out, this world would not last 24 hours. I mean, it would just self-destruct. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. We talked about that. What? Not the commandments of Moses. We talked about his commandments are what? Two things. Love and believe. Love and believe are his commands. And we keep those by believing in him. We have become obedient. We don't have to worry about, well, I don't know if I'm being obedient or not. Do you believe in him? Yes, you have become obedient. He said you can't even be obedient until you believe. He says it's impossible to please him without faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So that means if you have faith, you're pleasing him. That's his will for you, is that you believe. And that you walk in the good works that he's prepared beforehand, that you demonstrate that. We are created his workmanship. We are created for good works. This is what we do. We don't even have to think about it. Amen? Amen.